The day just couldn't have gotten any more disturbing. Until the splattered mass that had been the Denarian started quivering and moving.
Oh, you have got to be kidding me, I shouted.
Where there had been one big bug thing, now there were thousands of little mantis-like creatures. They all began bounding toward the center of the room, piling up into two mounds that gradually began to take on the shape of insectoid legs. The shotgun downstairs roared again, and running footsteps approached.
Hurry!
Thomas shouted. He appeared at the bottom of the stairs, sword in hand, just as I hurried out the door, still toting guard.
We had company up here,
I called. I started down the stairs as quickly and carefully as I could. I think there are three more of them down here, Thomas said, making way for me. He took note of guard. Holy crap. A corpse lay on the floor of the entry hall. It was black and furry and big, and I couldn't tell much more about it than that. The top 4/5 of its head were gone, and presumably accounted for the mess all over the opposite wall. Its guts were spilled out on either side of its body, steaming in the cold air drifting through the shattered front door. Hendricks crouched in the shadowed living room, covering the entryway with his shotgun. Something scraped over the floorboards of the ceiling above us. What's that? Thomas asked. A giant praying mantis demon dragging itself over the floor. Thomas blinked at me. That's just a guess, I said. Hendricks growled. How is she? Not good, I said. This is a bad spot to be in. No defenses here. Not even a threshold to work with. We need to bail. Shouldn't move her, Hendricks said. It could kill her. Not moving her will kill her, I countered. Us too. Hendricks stared at me, but he didn't argue. Thomas was already reaching into his pocket. He was tense, his eyes flicking restlessly, maybe in an attempt to track things that he could hear moving around outside. He dug out his key ring and held it with his teeth. Then he took a saber in one hand, that monster desert eagle in the other, and started humming, Froggy Went A-Courting, under his breath. Guard had slowly grown limp, and her head lolled bonelessly. I was having trouble keeping her steady. Hendricks, I said, nodding at Guard. Without a word, he set the shotgun aside and took the woman from me. I saw his eyes as he did, touched with worry and fear, and not for himself. He took her very gently, something I would never have imagined him doing, and growled,
How do I know you won't leave us behind? Let them rip us apart while you run.
You don't, I said curtly, picking up my staff. Stay if you want. These things will kill you both, I guarantee it. Or you take a chance with us, your call. Hendricks glared at me for a moment, but when he glanced down at the unconscious woman in his arms, the rocky scowl faded. He nodded once.
Harry, Thomas asked, how do you want to do this?
We head straight for your oil tanker, I said. Shortest route between two points and all.
They'll have the door covered, Thomas said.
I hope so.
Okay, he said, rolling his eyes, as long as there's a plan.
Footsteps crossed the floor above us and paused at the top of the stairs. Thomas's gun swiveled toward the stairs. I didn't turn. I covered the doorway. A voice like out-of-tune violin strings stroked by a rotting cobra hide drifted down the stairs.
Wizard.
I hear you, I said.
This situation might be resolved without further conflict. Are you willing to parley?
Why not? I answered. I didn't turn away from the door.
Have I your word of safe passage?
You do.
Then you have mine,
the voice answered. Whatever, I said. I lowered my voice to an almost subvocal whisper I was sure only Thomas could hear.
Watch them. They'll try something the second they get a chance. Why give them the opportunity? Thomas murmured. Because we might find out something important by talking. It's harder to question corpses. Switch with me.